live from Atlanta, Georgia. It's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction through passion and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I am your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We've got a great career library episode that's coming to you right now. Two ways you can engage the show, Zach at Zach Ballinger. Zach@ZachBallinger.com, and as well as you can follow us on YouTube. We are streaming live via there. Gabriella, thank you so much for joining the show tonight.
Pleasure. It's wonderful to be here.
You can tell it's a long day when I forgot my email address.
So. I know. That happens to me on a daily basis. So, but I purposely want to forget my email address.
Well, thanks for joining the show. So you're part of the Career Library Edition. Tell us a little bit about your career and what you do.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Gabriella Rosa. I'm a fertility specialist. Over the last 20 years, actually, I have helped couples overcome infertility and miscarriage, even when other treatments have failed. And my job really is to support couples and guide couples who are struggling to get pregnant or keep a healthy pregnancy to term to do exactly that. And, you know, my career journey has certainly not been it's unconventional, let's put it that way. You know, I think that a lot of times when people hear fertility specialists, they think of IVF. And although that is one of the ways in which couples can be supported through, you know, a challenging fertility journey, it's not the only way. So my background, I was originally trained as a naturopath and a naturopathic doctor. So my background is very holistic from that perspective. And then, you know, through the years and supporting and guiding couples via treatments that were various modalities, you know, from standard and orthodox treatments through medications and supplementation and herbal medicines even, you know, lifestyle modification, environmental exposure modification. There's lots of different pieces that go into what it is that we do today. I have recently, you know, one of the big things that has happened, I'm completing my second master's at the moment at Harvard, and that's a master's in public health with the idea of doing a doctorate, because the reason that I looked to begin with at fertility as being an area of interest for me is that I always felt that it wasn't a very holistic process. You know, often when couples are struggling to conceive and are struggling through that whole, you know, not really knowing what is going to be the best way for them forward, it was very difficult to find any other way of getting support other than here, take some drugs and let's collect some eggs and hopefully, you know, we'll get some sperm and we'll put those two things together and we'll have a baby. And we know that only 30% of the time that actually happens to deliver a baby. So that I knew that there was more that needed to be done. And I think that, you know, part of this whole idea of how people can actually help themselves is really what drew me to this field and this line of work.
So you gave a lot of information there. It was wonderful because you talked about how long you'd been doing it, what you kind of brought you to it. How did you learn about this career? Because the fertility specialist, you know, I don't see a five-year-old saying, I want to be a fertility specialist when I grow up. How did you learn about it?
Yeah. You're actually just forcing me to recollect because, to be honest, it's almost like, you know, career paths sometimes, they're not really structured in a way that you go, I'm here and I want to get to there. You know, it's like it's never a direct line. And so, you know, I even have a diagram that I show my patients where the journey to parenthood, you know, it's a very winding road. And I think that it very much mirrors what careers look like. And certainly, you know, for these days, people have often many different careers before they arrive at the thing that they really find fulfills them. But for me specifically, I knew that I wanted to help people in a holistic way. I knew that integrative medicine was something that I was very passionate about. And so that's why I originally trained as a naturopath and a naturopathic doctor, so that I could actually really be able to help people through lifestyle modification, through lifestyle intervention, to do the things that they wanted to feel healthier, to feel better in themselves. And so that started a way and a line of thinking that led me to the next step in the process, which was, well, what do I want to specialize in? Because I know that at the time, one of the things that for me was important, you know, I had put myself through university and college and everything, and I actually had to self-fund because my parents didn't necessarily agree with my life choices at the time. I moved countries and they weren't very happy with that. And so they're like, well, you're going to have to fend for yourself. I'm like, okay, I sure will. And so, you know, I actually had to go through and put myself through university, which was a great learning experience for me on many levels, because it forced me to really kind of be committed to what it is that I really wanted. You know, I knew that I wanted to go into university. I knew that I wanted to help people. I knew those things, those kind of broad ideas or ideas that I had. And then a question that I asked myself, I think, changed everything, which was, you know, what conversation can I feel myself and see myself having for the next 20 years? Because, you know, as we know, whenever you specialize in a field or you work in a certain area, you are going to be having many of the same conversations over and over and over and over again. And if the conversations that you must have and are bound to have as a result of carrying out your job and carrying out your job well aren't conversations that you necessarily enjoy, the longevity in that career is probably going to be limited. And so for me, I immediately realized that, okay, can I see myself having conversations about women's health? Can I see myself having conversations about just health in general for a really long period of time? And the answer was yes. And that was then what, you know, different interests obviously were piqued throughout my early stages in my career. I used to work whilst I was putting myself through university. One of my jobs was I used to work as a receptionist in an obstetrician gynecologist office. And that was part of what, you know, seeing women coming through and the tears and the challenges that they would face throughout their reproductive life journeys was something that I was really connected to, and why I think that I started to really focus on, in that area a whole lot more. And then, of course, when I graduated, patients that would come to me were mostly female, and lots of different types of reproductive challenges, from period pain to, you know, excessive bleeding to difficulty in irregular cycles and difficult cycles and so on. So it kind of almost like, you know, it was almost how life led me, you know, in that context. And that's how it all started. And then, of course, you know, I had many different types of patients that would come to me with wanting to overcome different challenges. And in very, very early on, I had a few patients come to me with fertility difficulties. And I was like, okay, this is an interesting area. But it wasn't for the first 10 years of the work that I was doing was a mixture of fertility and women's health in general, men's health, wellness. And then about the 10-year mark was when I decided that, okay, that we're only going to do fertility treatment. And we changed, you know, the focus of the clinic and really made it completely focused around infertility. But it took a while. It wasn't something that, you know, as my interest developed, that change occurred.
Thanks for walking us through that. And you mentioned something about, you know, talk about the function of this job, because somebody might say, what do you do all day or something? I like people to walk you through almost like a job shadowing opportunity. Let's say they woke up with you in the morning, they followed you to clinic, and then they left with you that night. What does a typical day look like?
It's a great question, and I'll have to answer it in two parts, because if you are a clinician, I mean, I'm no longer solely focused on as a clinician in my job, and certainly in my work. I now oversee a clinic of 42 staff. So, you know, I've certainly grown out of the sole clinician role, which was very much the beginning of my career. Now I've got more of a chief executive officer role, you know, where I'm doing all sorts of different things within the business, and research being one of them as well. So we're doing clinical research, which changes the discussion altogether once more. But in terms of clinical care, and certainly as a naturopathic doctor, it involves a lot of conversations with a lot of different people and a lot of different types of people. But I think that if I was to give you an overarching job description, is literally helping people do the things that they don't want to do willingly. You know, like that is your job as a naturopathic doctor, because often the pieces that you have to leverage in order to optimize people's health or help them do that are changes in lifestyle, changes in behavior, changes in the way in which they actually expose themselves in their lives to toxins, to, you know, things that are going to help and support their health or otherwise. And so what happens is that there's a lot of counseling that goes on. You know, there's a lot of understanding, digging deeper into what is somebody presenting with, you know, i.e. what is the problem that they want to solve, and then figuring out, okay, what are some, you know, from a lifestyle perspective, from an environmental perspective, from a dietary perspective, and from a biochemical perspective, and that's the most interesting part to me, how do we actually change what's going on right now? So, for example, let's say that somebody presented with, you know, they've got constant headaches and they want to address their constant headaches. We then need to have a look at every aspect, you know, the seven areas of life that encompass a person, and figure out, okay, what are the areas that are being implicated in this headache? When did it start? How did it start? When is it triggered? You know, so all of these questions, it's almost like you're doing a detective's job of figuring out what are the pieces that are getting in the way. What are the things? Are there nutritional deficiencies? Are there sensitivities to certain foods? Is there excessive stress that is causing the situation? Is it a lack of exercise? Is it a lack of nutrients? So you see, there are many different types of questions that you then need to go into a kind of a scavenger hunt to figure out the answers to. And then based on the findings, you end up figuring out, okay, there are many things that people can do to address headaches or period pain, right? What are the 20% of those things? What's the 20% of the effort that's going to give us 80% of our results? So that then we can layer the other improvements once a person has become comfortable with the initial lot of improvements that we've asked them to make, or changes that we've asked them to make. So really, if you work in a clinic that brings patients to you, it's quite unusual for that to be the case. Often, you know, as a naturopath, you have to actually go out, figure out how to sell yourself and sell your expertise in a way that people actually engage with it. And once you are able to go, and, you know, any doctor has the same situation, the same kind of issue, because ultimately, even if you work as a part of a clinic, referrals is still we're still all dependent on referrals. And often what ends up happening is that you will see a patient, they will get improvement, they will talk about it with their friends, family, and so on, and they will probably recommend. And certainly my practice was built that way. You know, it was a referral-based kind of situation. So you end up talking to a lot of people and talking a lot. And that's essentially, you know, a day's kind of work, a day in the office.
So let's say somebody's interested in this type of career, and, you know, it's going to differ from country to country, but just walk us through what kind of educational career path do they need to take to begin this journey?
Yeah, so it is a degree-based, you do a degree at a university. I think that in the US, one of the most well-known universities in integrative medicine or naturopathic medicine is Bastyr University. And but as you said, you're correct in saying that in different countries, there will be different requirements and there will be different education, there will be different sets of registration. But ultimately, you know, I mean, the way to start is just Googling naturopathic doctor qualifications or something like that, and, you know, figuring out what the career path within the specific country actually is. There are many different ways of enhancing that training, though. And I think that that's one very important thing to also realize, is that especially in any field of medicine, whether, you know, any speciality within medicine, there's going to be constant self, you know, development and professional development that's required in order to stay up to date. Because the same treatment that you was, you know, that you may have learnt about or that was effective in terms of a particular condition today might not be the same in 10 years from now. Although one thing that I love about naturopathic medicine is that it really works with the foundationals of health, which essentially means that the foundationals of health don't really change all that drastically. You know, we know that the body needs enough sleep. We know that we need enough, you know, kind of mental hygiene. We know that we need certain types of nutrients in order to be healthy. We know that we need filtered good quality, you know, water in order to be hydrated. All of these pieces are pieces that are immutable. Of course, in terms of biochemistry, as I was saying before, there's always fine tuning and a kind of fast tracking of treatment that's possible once we understand what are biochemical pathways, how are they affected when we have a symptom, what are the things, because symptoms often, you know, they are an end result. They're an outcome of a biochemical chain reaction that starts much, much earlier than when the symptom actually manifested. So even if we're talking about a headache, we're talking about the fact that that is an outcome of many different things that you may have done or have been doing in your life that have created that symptom. That's also why it's not great to suppress symptoms. You know, if we have a headache, to take a painkiller in that moment might be useful, but then figuring out, okay, why is this recurring? Why is this happening is really important. And so the training as a naturopathic doctor encompasses and entails figuring those conversations out and continually staying up to date with the latest scientific evidence and the latest information around a particular topic of interest.
You can tell you're really passionate about the field just by talking to you for this short period of time, but there's always challenges to any career. And I always try to let my guests explain some of the challenges, difficulties. Take us behind the scenes, what's tough about your job, because everybody has obstacles.
Absolutely. And, you know, there are, I think that any time that you're asking people to do things that they don't want to do, it's going to be tough. And, you know, I often talk about the fact that what I have had to excel in my life and I have had to become very, very good at is helping people to engage in the benefit of the drawback. And here's what I mean by that. You know, there are challenges in making changes. There are challenges in doing things differently in our lives. And when we're treating as a naturopathic practitioner, when you're treating a patient, you need to be able to support them and almost inspire them to make these changes for their own reasons. And it's almost like, you know, the best way to describe it is that you have to become very compelling at helping people understand and make changes that they don't necessarily want to make and still engage them in an unconscious and subconscious level enough that those changes are going to actually become permanent changes. Because otherwise what happens is if you make a change, any change, today, and you maintain that change for a period of time, but then you go back and revert back to what you were doing before, you are going to get the same result, right? It's almost like if somebody has lost 20 kilos, if they go back to all of their previous habits, they're going to put on those 20 kilos all over again. The purpose, and as far as I'm concerned, being an effective practitioner, an effective clinician, is helping people really engage with the why must I change and why must I change now forever? For my own benefit and for my own good. And that is a process of learning that takes a long time to develop. So I had to really, you know, kind of figure out that piece on my own, because you're not really taught that through university. You're really taught like, okay, this is kind of how you deliver your result. But if your patient isn't being compliant, which most of them are not, let me tell you, your result is dependent on the fact that somebody doesn't want to do what they need to do to get the outcome in the first place. So how effective are you going to be and how successful are you going to be as a clinician is going to be dependent on how well you can actually convince people of what it is that they need to do for their reasons, not yours.
Gotcha. And so my final question for you is, let's rewind your life, take you back to elementary school. what did you dream of being when you were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old?
I actually wanted to be a brain surgeon. And I was very clear about that. And I very quickly realized that that would have been the wrong career choice for me. You know, like, I don't think that I would have coped well with the lack of sleep through residency, for one. But also, I think that, you know, my personality, and I've come to learn that about myself a whole lot more, is very much about helping to engage and engage people in actions and activities. And, you know, this is also another thing that I think people who are looking for a career, whether it's to start a career or a career change or any of those types of things, what's so vital is to know thyself, right? Is to know, what do you love? What conversations you want to have? What are the types of, you know, what lifestyle do you actually desire? Because, you know, a surgeon's lifestyle is going to be very, very different to, say, a plumber's lifestyle or to a pilot's lifestyle. So, you know, understanding what makes you thrive, what do you love, what do you enjoy, what conversations you want to have, you know, all of those pieces helps us to go, okay, is that going to make me closer to what fulfills me, i.e. makes me happy, or is it going to take me further away? Because, for example, if I had fulfilled my so-called quote-unquote eight-year-old dream, I would have been miserable because I know that I would have been in a situation where I would feel very little control over my life, my day-to-day, my diary, you know, my schedule, the ability also to concurrently run a family, because not only do I run 42 staff, I have 2 children, and, you know, 1 is 9, the other 6, and it's a full-time job in its own right. And so to be able to manage all of those pieces would have been a very different challenge for me that I'm sure if I desired it enough and I was in love with it enough, I could do it. But I know that I wouldn't have been, knowing myself now, right? So in that rewinding of my life choices, I think that I actually ended up doing pretty well.
Yeah, you know, I ask that question because I try to tell people to oftentimes look back through their life. Is there a common theme? And you said something that kind of clicked with what you just said. So you said at first in the interview that you had this overarching theme of you wanted to help people. And so while you're not fixing somebody's brain inside their head, you are fixing something else that ultimately helps people's health. So there is another thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, to be honest, I am actually fixing people's brains, but, you know, they're functional brains. And, you know, if you think about it, a brain surgeon is operating either because of a tumor or because of some serious, you know, issue that is probably going to leave that person unable and incapable of conducting a normal, fulfilling life for the most part. You know, I mean, there are many, many different types of brain surgeons, but, you know, that's when I look at the distinctions and what you've just said, I look at it and I go, well, actually, I do fix people's brains, but just so that they can function better in their life, you know, rather than in their dwindling life, so to speak.
It's so funny. You're kind of promoting the career library. So if you guys do want to become a brain surgeon, we actually did have one on a couple of months ago.
I'm sure he loves his job.
So if you are interested in that, we have that. So thank you so much for sharing about your career. This has been extremely helpful for me and my audience that want to learn more about it. What are you currently working on? How do people find you? And I think you've got something really cool to share. I'll go ahead and turn it over to you.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. Well, I mean, we would love to offer a copy of Fertility Breakthrough for anyone. So it's my latest book. I've written 4 books now, and this is my latest baby. And I'm sure that you'll put in the show notes how they can actually access that. But if somebody wanted to find me, they can find me on LinkedIn. They can find me on Google, Gabriela Rosa. So it's G-A-B-R-I-E-L-A, and it's R-O-S-A.
Like Gabriel said, guys, what we'll do is we'll post in there where you can get her book. She's offered a promo code to you guys, too. If you use the promo code Zach, you can get that book at a discounted rate. Is that correct, Gabriel?
But it's actually completely free.
Wow, even better.
Yes, yes. So anyone who wants a free copy of Fertility Breakthrough, go ahead and use the code.
Wow. Well, thank you. That is so kind of you to do that. We really appreciate that. So guys, if you are excited about this career field, check out her book. You know, that might be a good first step to see. You know, you may be passionate about it and think it's something you want to go into. Maybe this book could help you, or if you're out there listening and you know somebody that needs this type of help during their own marriage or their own life, this might be a book for you. Use the promo code Zach and we'll make sure to put it into the comments, like Gabriella said. Thank you again so much for giving back your time. We know you're extremely busy. Like you said, you're running a large practice, a lot of people to run. So thank you for giving back your time to my audience.
Pleasure. It's my pleasure to be here. And I wish that, you know, if it's helped anybody figure out their next path in life, that's a really wonderful thing. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you guys for tuning in. Until then, this was the Zach Ballinger Show.